Hello and welcome to a special edition of Mouse Chat. Bob is just back from the press event over at Legoland, Florida. So we're going to get right into it and talk all about the new Legoland, Florida, which is where Cypress Gardens used to be, if you remember. It's about an hour from Disney World. Bob, what do you think the best age group is for Legoland, Florida?
If you are between the ages of 2 and 12, I think it is amazing. I mean, the kids there were having a great time. And, I mean, you've got like 50 rides that are all basically almost none of them have height restrictions. You know, there's even in the Miniland, which has all the minifigs of, you know, the Daytona and Las Vegas and New York City and Washington, D.C., there's buttons to push to make things go and you know, to make volcanoes explode and you know, just a lot of hands-on stuff. But, you know, if you're an adult without kids, I don't think you're going to get much out of it. But the, you know, and I'll probably say this in our review, the biggest downside to it is a haul from Disney.
Oh, no,
I mean, I mean, it's got to be at least a good hour. And, you know, when you get off I-4.
No, you're on secondary roads. I mean,
yeah. And I mean, we were going so far and there were no signs. And I said, I think I'm going the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, I turned around and I started going the other way.
No, it's interesting you say that because the Legoland people have been after the state of Florida to the effect that you need additional signage. That's a standard, that's already a complaint they're getting. But that was a complaint that dated back to Cypress Gardens.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel for them because, you know, that again, not to get off that track here, but there was a conversation with Disney. This was about 7 to 10 years ago now, about, you know, because again, Disney was looking to do a 15 park without actually paying for a 15 park, and there was at least a conversation about, you know, possibly doing Legoland on Disney property, or, you know, again, given this is, it's a Denmark based company, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was the notion of, okay, then we'll do a Lego, you know, we'll have Lego sponsor, you know, the Denmark Pavilion at Epcot and, you know, put a heavy component in there. And they couldn't come to terms. I mean, you know, that obviously you've seen the Legoland shops on property that you know, they recognize that there's an overlap between the two family audiences, but they just couldn't come to terms that work. But yeah, it is a schlep out there.
Yeah, I mean, so that was, and I mean, I think it wasn't until 12 miles out that we saw small signs that said, you know, Legoland Strait or, you know, or Winter Haven Winter Haven, you know, home of Legoland. Yeah. You know, so there's that. I mean, things that they've done right. You know, of course, a lot of the kids' rides are very family friendly. If you're a tall adult, you may have a hard time getting on some of them, but you know, lots of hands-on stuff for kids to do. The Miniland is terrific. I mean, with all the miniature lands, I think that's really well done. You know, just the details that they put into things like I mean, this was silly, but it's something I noticed. All of the restrooms, there were a ton of family bathrooms too, which you don't find in a lot of parks. I thought that was nice. I mean, they're catering to, you know, the 2 to 12 set. You know, people with young kids, you know, very limited height restrictions. I think I saw one attraction or two attractions that had any kind of a height requirement. So tons of stuff for kids to do. The shops have a lot of hard to find Legos in them, sets that you're not going to find elsewhere. They're also talking about having a lot of limited edition stuff. They're already announced an expansion where they're going to add on a water park to Legoland and a hotel down the road to kind of make it like a 2-day experience. Sure. The food prices I thought were decent. The food at the bakery was actually very, very good and very cheap. The other food actually made us sick. Both my wife and I ate it, and we both got sick from it. I think it had been sitting out too long. So that loses points with me. There's not a lot of shade. That was one thing that I noticed. So, like, you've got this whole mini land with all these figurines that you know, all these displays that you want to see, and it's totally exposed. So, and it's like Animal Kingdom hot. I mean, you're just burning up, and if it's raining, you're going to just be out there in you know, pouring rain.
Yeah, but they're married to that concept. They can't, you know. I mean, the way Miniland works. If you've been to the one in California, or you've seen the pictures from the other parks around the world, I mean, you have to be able to take the big picture in, and you have to buy it that it's in scale. So you can't have a shade tree looming up over New York,
right?
Because otherwise, you know, somebody's going to get in there with a leaf blower every day and, you know, clear the 12-foot tall oak, you know, leaves off of Fifth Avenue. You know, just and you know, there's already, you know, if you've talked with theme park people about this, that between it's Central Florida, the weather issue, the sun bleaching issue, that, you know, this is going to be a lot of maintenance. But and you know, again, there was some very serious discussion about doing Legoland on the other end of iDrive, closer to Disney property. I'm sure you've seen they've begun developing that. It would have been to the south of the outlet mall there, the one that has the Disney character outlet in it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, there's some big pieces of property out there, but it was honestly the Cypress Garden people, you know, they made the better deal. You know, they're like, look, we have pre-existing facilities. You can come in, you can retheme here. You don't have to build all the infrastructure. We have the parking lot. We have the history. You know, we just need Legoland here. But in the end, they still have the exact same issue, that it's a schlep. And
yeah, and there's no way around that. I mean, you can put up a tons of signs, but you're going down, like you said, not, you know, you're not going down major interstate. So you're dealing with traffic. You're dealing with traffic lights. And there's a whole lot of nothing at one point. I mean, we were passing orange groves and like farms and like,
right, you're right.
You know, and I'm like, where the hell are we? And I'm familiar with that area. And even I thought I was going the wrong direction. And then, I mean, for all the beautiful theming and the grounds, which were so nice, I mean, they really did a nice job of preserving Cypress Gardens and you know, the flowers and the butterflies and the you know, and they even incorporate into certain areas little like Lego foxes or like Lego deer, which was cool. For all of that beauty, at one point we're online for one of their coasters, and I look up while I'm still online, and I can see right out onto the main thoroughfare, you know, outside the park, you know, and there's the AutoZone and the Publix and the Kmart, you know, the traffic whizzing by. You know, I don't know. For me, that just kind of takes away from the, you know, aesthetics a little bit. Like, you know, just put up some trees or, you know, put up a wall or something.
Look, you know, every theme park has this issue in year one. I mean, part of the other problem is that the area you're describing was initially Cypress Gardens buffer zone. They didn't actually put attractions into that area till like 5 or 6 years ago. That was when they had the management change. And, you know, this was the easiest place to drop attractions in because they already had the cement pads. And, you know, but you're right. I mean, you know, I remember being there just, you know, during the last dying days of, you know, the last version of Cypress Gardens. And yeah, you can. I know the AutoZone. I could see it from standing in the queue for the Florida Flyer or whatever that classic wooden coaster was.
Yeah, now it's Coasterosaurus.
Well,
yeah. Which is so small that I literally had to get in it sideways, you know, to be able to fit. So I was kind of glad that it was only, you know, a 45-second ride because I couldn't handle it for much more. So it's definitely geared towards kids, and kids were having a phenomenal time. They were riding around, they were climbing on stuff, they were, you know, driving boats, and they're not on a track. I mean, you actually get on a boat and you can steer it, and you know, you do the driving school, and you're driving a car. You know, I mean, it's going 3 miles an hour, but you're driving a car, you know, and you get your license, and they have the Rescue Academy where you can, you know, you work with your family members to pump a fire truck to a scene of a quote unquote burning building. And then you know, one person has to point the hose while the other person pumps, and you spray water to put out the fire, you know, and you're racing against other people. And, you know, then they have the flying school you know, tons of neat stuff for kids.
And
but if you're,
this all
yeah.
works in Carlsbad, California. But the difference between the Carlsbad setup and Cypress Gardens, Carlsbad literally and you drive right by it on the 5. I mean, if you're going down to San Diego or you're driving up to Disneyland from San Diego, you just, it's right there on the highway. You 2 minutes off the road, you're in the parking lot walking to the entrance where this thing, you know, just that hour long schlep.
Yeah.
And I know they're working on the transportation issue. I've heard talk of Legoland themed buses.
Yeah, there's going to be a bus, but it's going to be running from the premium outlets that are off of I-4 across from downtown Disney where that Dollywood attraction used to be.
Yep.
So they're going from there. So first, if you're a tourist coming into Disney, you know, and you're taking Magical Express, well, you don't have a car. So first you have to figure out, you know, how am I going to get to the premium outlets? You know, take a taxi or something. And then, you know, take a bus for an hour, you know, to a park that is only open right now, Thursday through Monday. So it's closed Tuesday and Wednesday right now. So it's not even open 2 days during the week. And then it's only open 9 to 5. So, you know, if the bus starts running at 9 and you don't get there till 10, you know, now you've got and then the park closes at 5 o'clock.
Those are all really valid observations. And, it, you know, and in fact, the irony is that if you ever actually get out to Cypress Gardens Legoland complex, what you really want to do is continue on to Bock Tower Gardens. Have any of you guys actually ever been there before?
No.
Is that the place where they have the big tower with the chimes?
Yeah, the Carillon Tower.
Yeah.
Really, seriously, that it's worth it alone to I mean, the weird thing is Cypress Gardens is kind of 1940s Florida. I mean, you know, again, they built it there. They got people to come out to see the attractive gardens, but they were actually keying off of Bock Tower Gardens. That which had been built in like the 1920s, and it's really beautiful. It's these amazing. You park the car, you walk in this amazingly tranquil environment, and they do a Carillon concert, you know, once every hour. And there's actually this really cool thing that they've got an observation area where you go into what's the equivalent of a duck blind that has a picture window, and it's right at the water's edge, and you sit there for a minute or two and you're looking out at what you think is sort of an empty swamp, and then you realize that no, it's filled with Florida wildlife. It's egrets and wood ducks, and you know, it just, and you suddenly look up and you've been in there a half hour. But it's literally the anti Disney. And again, it's, you know, there are no audio animatronics. There are no cues. There are, you know, you're not going to whip out the iPhone and, you know, cause you're bored. It's just, it's this really, really wonderful, peaceful environment. But it's like back in the day when it was Cypress Gardens just down the street from Bock Tower, it was literally the Florida time machine. You could go visit these places. Of this is what tourism in Florida used to be before Walt Disney showed up. And in fact, there's it's Dick Pope who used to love to tell the story about, you know, because Roy Disney, Dick wasn't necessarily friendly with Walt Disney, but Dick was friendly with Roy Disney, you know, because Roy every year, like clockwork, would bring, you know, Edna, you know, would take, like, look, you know, I'm not Walt. I actually take my wife on vacation, you know, and we go and we relax as a family, and they would go down to Florida. And, you know, so he would always make a point of stopping and visiting with Dick. And, you know, it was just one time that, you know, Dick is in his office and one of the people calls and says, hey, Roy Disney just pulled into the parking lot. And so he, you know, walks out to the entrance figuring he's going to, you know, greet, you know, Roy and Edna. And it's 10 minutes, it's 20 minutes, it's a half hour. And Dick's like, what's going on? He walks out to the parking lot. And here's Roy Disney walking through the parking lot counting cars. You know, and this is like 60, 61. You know, and so, you know, Dick walks up to him and, Roy, what are you doing? And then, you know, counting cars, and it's like, there's something you want to tell me, Roy? You know, and, you know, that this was Roy Disney fact-finding for his brother Walt. And the irony is there was no bigger booster than, you know, for Disney in Central Florida than Dick Pope. He just, you know, you constantly said, you know, Disney coming to Florida is, the, you know, that it's the next best thing to sunshine. That we're going to do so much business. And it literally, for the first 4 or 5 years, you know, close to 10 years, that was exactly the case. That when there was only the one Disney theme park and only the two hotels on property that, you know, or three hotels, that people would, you know, would wander out. They'd get a rental car and they'd go out as far as Cypress Gardens. And in fact, when Busch Gardens Tampa got built, that was, you know, that was great for them because they would get traffic coming and going. But it was only when Universal came to town and they built their theme park closer to Orlando and Disney added Epcot and Disney, you know, MGM and so on, that the center of gravity shifted and, you know, just people stopped going. You know, that if anything, they didn't drive west of Disney, they'd go east. They'd go to check Universal. They'd go to see SeaWorld. But it kind of bit them in the ass.
And now, I mean, Legoland is going to need those Disney and Universal visitors.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They can't survive with just locals.
But you've nailed it. It's the getting there. It's charming. And if it were a repeat of the Carlsbad situation where it were charming at the end of I Drive near Disney property, I bet they'd do great business. You know, now they're in a much tougher situation. They have to, you know, market that much more aggressively. They've got to figure out the transportation issue and, you know, the whole notion of, you know, I mean, face it, how is anybody going to describe the place? It's charming, but it's a schlep.
Right, which is how I mean, and that is a perfect description because I think it's wonderful for families. You got young kids who love Legos, you're going to have a blast. But man, is it going to take you some time to get there?
And face it, in this age where, again, you know, getting back to the Tiki Room thing, the whole notion of sitting there for 30 seconds and everybody whips out their iPhones and Droids, you know, the whole notion of I've got to drive an hour to get there, where I can be at Universal in 15 minutes, it's like, this is going to be a hard sell.
And they're charging adults $75 to get in. Mm. I mean, kids 3 to 9 are $65, but, you know, your kids are going to have a good time. You know, the adults, I mean, I heard families while I was there because they were pass holder previews saying, oh gosh, we love it here. So I guess, you know, if your kids are having a good time, you as a parent are going to have a good time too, just, you know. But $75 for, you know, for attractions that I can't fit on, or I don't really, you know, I can't drive that little car around that, you know, around that driving school. You know, that's not made for me. You know, that Junior Rescue Academy, that's not made for me. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's steep.
Well, you know? But, you know, it's funny you bring that up because it's, I mean, what is it? Disney now is, what, 85, 86?
Yeah, plus tax, so you're looking at about $90,
$91. Yeah, but Disney's also been around long enough to earn that, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, face it, that's that Lego does have name recognition. And Legoland, you know, that this is a concept that's been proven around the world and has already a stateside success under its belt. So it's, you know, and also, you know, to be honest, they, you know, the whole notion of this is what the market will bear.
I mean, it does have a lot of positives. Like I was saying, I mean, the employees who they call model citizens are wonderful. I mean, they're polite, they're helpful, they're terrific. The park is beautifully themed. It's great for kids. I mean, yeah. You know,
it's just location is going to be really tough.
Location. Yep. I don't know how they're going to draw
people
away.
That's why Cypress Gardens and everything else out there is tanked.
Because otherwise the last park with all its roller coasters and things probably would have done better business. And I really think, you know, lack of advertising and lack of getting people out there.
Well, more to the point, it was a camel. I mean, you had all of these classic, you know, theme park, you know, I mean, let's be honest, amusement park, state fair type attractions, you know, right next to ornamental gardens. I mean, a thing that had been, you know, and then, you know, even in the state, Cypress Gardens had this weird hybrid identity. It's like, okay, we have Southern belles walking around ornamental gardens and women in bikinis on water skis. Well, and I
had to laugh because Legoland at the front of the park as a tribute did has a Lego Southern Belle.
Yep.
Right at the front, but they also had a large display of Legos, just a big open container for, I guess, people to take or whatever. So I walked upon this Southern Belle, and someone had defaced it by adding a Lego black Hitler-style mustache under his nose and a little, Fu Manchu under the chin. So it was – it just looked very, very different.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's,
yeah, it suggests this is going to be a park treated with lots of effect.
The other thing is, so I took those off, but the other thing I already noticed was that people had started taking Lego pieces off of the display, literally. And I thought that they were shellacked or glued together, but I guess if people rip hard enough, you can rip pieces off. So you're going to get a lot of that. And that was kind of weird. And then the other thing that I thought was strange is I thought it was a great idea. Like in one of the restaurants, they had a whole round table full of Legos so kids could, build stuff, contraptions and things. Problem is that, parents, the kids didn't want to sit down and eat their food. So you're constantly hearing, Jimmy, come eat your pizza. It's getting cold, and Legos were ending up all over the floor. From these kids building things, which no one is watching. And I'm thinking, this is an accident waiting to happen. Good idea in concept, but I don't know how it will, play out. So.
No, absolutely. And, it's interesting that was supposedly one of the issues that derailed a Legoland at Disney World. That Disney's attorneys got involved, and then became all the great conversations about the envelope of protection, and you heard about the envelope of protection, right?
I'm not familiar with that term. No.
Okay. The on a Disney attraction, the envelope protection refers to what the reach of. I think it's a 6 foot. Seven man. If a professional basketball player is in a Disney theme park attraction, what they could reach out and touch within, while riding in a Disney ride vehicle, that they always have to preserve the envelope of protection so nobody's reaching out and tearing pieces of the attraction or getting themselves hurt. In fact, there was this great moment. I was when they were doing test and adjust on Expedition Everest. And the way they determined the envelope protection on that is they literally would put a 2x4 that they'd measured out to be the reach of, again, this 6 foot, 7 foot tall man and jammed it into the seat and then sent the ride vehicle roaring through the mountain with the 2x4 sticking out. And then, I guess in one direction it worked fine. In another direction it came back with a shredded 2x4. So they now had to walk the track and figure out, where it had been close enough to shred the 2x4. But no, the envelope of protection is something that everybody who does theme park rides has to deal with. Likewise, when you do a restaurant or that sort of thing, you always have to be aware of, what's this, what's our floor surface? I remember talking with the folks doing the Crystal Palace redo about, they had to change out some of the flooring there just because of concerns about guests slipping and falling and more to the point, just creating ways, making it so that there were aisleways that were wide enough not only for the guests to get through, but also the poor people who were wearing the character costumes moving from table to table with limited visibility. So.
Thanks, Jim and Bob, for the special edition on Legoland. That's going to wrap it up for this week. Join us again next week on Mouse Chat.